I've had the privilege over the years to do most of my ministry in the state of Georgia. I did go on a foreign mission trip to Tennessee and South Carolina for a short period of time. But I have been on staff at two churches, the First Baptist Church of Dawson, where I served as Minister of Youth Associate Pastor. I served on staff as a Minister of Education and Discipleship. Actually, more properly, I was the Minister of Miscellaneous on staff at First Baptist Church in Woodstock, Georgia. And then I have had the privilege of pastoring First Baptist Church of Cuthbert. From there, I went to First Baptist Church of Northside in Valdosta, where I served for 10 years. And then I served most recently in Georgia for 13 years at the First Baptist Church of Lilburn, Georgia. Boy, you talk about a diverse ministry over the years, just about every size church and every type. In fact, when I left First Baptist Church of Lilburn, along with our Anglo-English speaking congregation, I had 17 language congregations with people from over 60 nations that were a part of our church, because that was who was in our backyard over in Lilburn. And so it's been a joy to be able to serve. I've been officially retired a year and a half, but I've been busier the last year and a half, I think, I've ever been in my life. But I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and I appreciate it very much. Our text this morning is found in the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. We're going to look in just a moment at verses 15 and 16. And the title of the message today is, It Is About Time. It's About Time. Now, I asked the early congregation, and they seem to understand, but I don't know if this is your habit or not. But how about stand with me in honor of God's word as I read our text for today, and you follow along there in your copy of the Bible. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk or how you live, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Lord, I thank you for your word today, and I pray that you'll take it and that you'll speak it to our hearts. Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Help us to apply it. Help us not only to understand, but help us to put it into practice in our hearts and our lives this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul to write this book that we call the book of Ephesians, the whole purpose of these last two chapters, in fact, actually the last two chapters, was to teach God's people how to put the truth of the first three chapters of Ephesians into practice, into practical daily living. And in these last two chapters, he talks specifically about how to have a wise and godly walk, or a wise and a godly life in the midst of an evil day. And folks, if it was evil 2,000 years ago in the time of Paul, boy, can you imagine what he would say about our day and age? And we certainly live in evil days. We need to know how to walk wisely and godly, as Paul writes here in our verses for this morning. I actually love the way the Amplified Version puts this verse. It says the following: Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily, and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. That's what Paul is calling us to in our verses for this morning. One of my favorite Old Testament books, the book of Proverbs. Remember hearing Dr. Billy Graham many years ago talk about his daily quiet time. He'd start his day off with five Psalms, one chapter of Proverbs every year. And he did that for many, many years. And after hearing him do that, I did that for a number of years. And boy, what great wisdom you find in the book of Proverbs. It's God's Old Testament book of wisdom. And we know that King Solomon is given credit for writing the vast majority of that book. I want you to listen to just a few of those verses from Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5, that speak to us about our need to be wise in the way we live our lives. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5, the wise writer of wisdom says, My son, if you will receive my word and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. How desperately we need, as God's people in this day, to live wisely and godly in the days in which we live. And I want you to look at what Paul tells us about this. In fact, he tells us why we need to live wisely and why we need to live godly lives. Again, it says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. How do you live wisely? It begins by making the most of your time. It begins at how you use the time God's given you. The King James Version puts it this way. I love the phrasing of it. It says, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Every one of us has been given a time on this earth, and we have time. How you use that time is of the utmost importance. And here Paul, as he begins these verses about walking out the Christian life, he tells us to live godly, and you do that when you live wisely. And the only way you can live wisely in this world is to walk godly, all of it together in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Well, let me do this morning for just a few minutes. I did not know what to preach to you this morning. I didn't know what you've had preached to you over these last few months. So as I was praying, the Lord just kind of put this message on my heart, because time is something that every one of us have in common. Hey, it's good to see y'all sitting right there. That's good. Thank you for doing that. It doesn't matter if you're one of our youth or if you're the oldest person in this room. You have time, and you have to use it wisely. Time is something that applies to every one of us. So let me make a few observations with you about it this morning and see if I can apply it to our hearts and our lives. I want to talk first to you and share with you for a moment about the principle of time. The principle of time. And as you think about the principle of time, I do so by making three statements to you. Number one, you need to understand that time is a blessed gift from God. Time is a blessed gift from God. God's given you a certain amount of time here on this earth. And whatever time you have, it is from God himself. Psalm 31, the first part of verse 15, it says, my times are in your hand. The psalmist speaking to God. Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not yet one of them. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verses 12 and 13. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in one, and the writer says, one's lifetime. And then he says, moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. And then he says this, it is a gift of God. Your life, that life, the time that God has given you here on this earth, is a gift from Almighty God. And you know, you stop and think about it, we all have the same amount of time. From the President of the United States to the lowest one amongst us, we all have 24 hours a day. No one has any more, no one has any less. And isn't it interesting how you do with your time what's important to you? Now, I like to eat. You don't have to look very far to see that. I enjoy eating, and I get very busy sometimes. But you know what? I can always find time to eat. Why? Because it's important to me. You ever heard somebody say when you ask them about serving the Lord, well, I just don't have time for that anymore. Oh, yeah, you do. You got the same amount of time I've got. We all have the same amount of time. You use your time to do what's important to you. But understand this, all the time you have is a gift from God. It is a blessed gift. Secondly, time is a brief gift from God. It is a brief gift from God. How many of us can say, you don't have to raise your hand, boy, my life has just gone by too quick. You know, it's interesting, when you're a small child, you don't think you're ever going to get old enough to become a teenager. And then you get to be a teenager and you think, I'll never make it to 16. It's going to take forever so I can drive. And then you get to be 16 and you think, I'll never get old enough I can move out of this house and get away from mom and dad. And then you get to do that, and all of a sudden you look down the road and you're 40 and 50 years old and you wonder, where has time gone? Remember doing a children's camp once, and as kids, I had them introduce themselves and tell me their name, a food they liked, and how old they were. And every one of those kids did the same thing. When they get to their, they give me their name, they tell me what they liked, and then they would say this, I'm 8, but I'm almost 9. You adults don't do that, do you? I'm 69, but I'm almost 70. No, it is amazing how brief our life can be. Rob and I just finished up 2 weeks vacation with our with some of our family. First week, we took our 6-year-old granddaughter to the beach for 2 weeks. First week, it was just me and her, Robin, keeping up with Chrisley. And the second week, we had about 40 of her cousins to help us entertain her. I need a month of vacation after being on vacation. But somebody took a picture of Chrisley and I. We're walking down, we're on the beach, we're walking out to play in the waves, and I've got her by the hand, and she stands about this tall, and we're walking together, hand in hand, down to the waves to play in the water. Somebody posted that picture on Facebook, and the second I saw it, flashback, it didn't seem that long ago that I was doing the same thing with her dad, who is my youngest son. Been over 30 years, but it seemed like yesterday. Psalm 90, verse 10 says, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due strength, 80. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. James 4 verse 14 says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a while, and then it vanishes away. In God's timetable, the time that we have is just a speck in eternity. Time is a blessed gift from God. Time is a brief gift from God. But let me also say to you, as we think about the principle of time, let me say that time is a burdensome gift from God. And it's burdensome in this sense. It's burdensome in the sense that every one of us will one day have to stand before Almighty God to give an account for how we use this gift of time that He gave us here on this earth. Did you know that? Hebrews 9, verse 27. Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, it says, comes judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in this body, according to what he's done. Whether it's good or bad. Romans 14 verses 10, 11, and 12. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. One day you and I will stand before Almighty God, and He will ask you, how did you spend your life? How did you spend your time? And that's the question every one of us are going to have to give an account for. Well, that is the principle of time. Secondly, this morning, I want you to consider the prominence of time, the prominence of time. And what I mean by that is simply this. Why is time so important? And why do we need to understand the prominence of it in our life? I'll give you just a few quick reasons. Number one, time is prominent, once again, because it's short. There's not much of it. Every second is valuable. It moves all so quickly. It can get away from us real easily. And it is a very important thing because it is so short. Secondly, time is prominent because in the time given to us, we make choices that affect not only our life here, but affect eternity. All of us make choices in this time, and we're products of our choices, even though this world today wants to teach us that we're not, but we are. People, every person is a product of the choices they make in this life, good or bad. Every one of us. But when it comes to eternity, have you ever stopped to think about it? We're given the opportunity during this time, our time on this planet. You and I are given an opportunity to respond to God's gift of eternal life. And what we do with His Son Jesus here on this earth in the time given to us will ultimately determine for us where we spend eternity. That's why it's important. That's why time is important. You know, it really doesn't matter how you view God's sovereignty and salvation, and He certainly is sovereign in all His affairs of mankind. And God's ways are so far beyond our ways, we have a hard time even fathoming God. But regardless of how you view His sovereign work in salvation, ultimately it comes down to this. Somewhere in this life, if you're going to live for eternity in heaven, you've got to make the right choice regarding His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't make that choice, your choice for eternity has already been chosen to you, because we're all sinners who are separated from a holy God. And unless we have God do something about our lost state, we sang about that in that first song. Unless God does something about our lostness, we're all doomed. God has done something about our losses. It's called Jesus. And what we do with Jesus in our time on this earth will ultimately determine where we spend our eternity. That's why time is so important. Thirdly, this morning, time is prominent because we can and we should use it for the glory of God. Lord, no matter how old you get to live to be, whatever time God has ordained, the days that have been ordained for you, you can use this time for the glory and honor of God. You should use this time for the glory and honor of God. Robin's daddy is he just turned 95 years of age. And probably in better health than most of us in this room. He's an amazing man. But yet, not many people make it that long. It really doesn't matter how long you make it. What do you do with the time God does give you? And really, you've got two choices. You can use the time God gave you to live for His glory and His honor and to bring Him glory and honor. We've been created for His glory. We've been redeemed for His glory. You can give God glory with your life in whatever way God's given you the ability to give Him glory. Or you can use it selfishly. You can live it for you. And one day, when you stand before the judgment seat, you're going to have to give an account for how you used your time on this earth that God gave you. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be able to say, God, I used that time for Your glory and honor. I didn't live for myself. Time is also prominent, fourthly, because we can use it and should use it to make our life count for something. We can use it and should use it to make our life count for something. My brother-in-law, who passed away a year and a half ago, he was also a pastor. And I remember Scott. Scott had a profound influence on my life as a young believer. Helped to disciple me many years ago before he was my brother-in-law. And Scott made a statement preaching on the will of God one time that I'll never forget. I hope I'll never forget it. And he said this. He said, what a tragedy it will be to one day stand before the judgment seat of God only to realize I lived my life in error. Lived it in error. Hey, folks, I made up my mind a long time ago. I want to live my life to count for the kingdom of God. I want my life to make a difference for Jesus. I want my life to do all that it can with the time God's given me to demonstrate my heart's desire to seek first God's kingdom, His righteousness. I want to make a difference for God here on the time, on this planet, with the time that God has given to me. The principle of time, the prominence of time. Thirdly, this morning, let me share with you a portrait of time. A portrait of time. I've mentioned two men to you this morning who wrote scriptures that we read. One was the Apostle Paul. One was a man by the name of King Solomon. Let's paint their life for just a second. A portrait of time. First, we come to the Apostle Paul who wrote our text that we have this morning. Paul once was known as Saul, and as Saul, he sought to stomp out the Christian church. He thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting and killing, putting to death Christians. But on the road to Damascus, the man by the name of Saul had a life-changing experience where he saw the resurrected Jesus, and God changed him in his heart. He redeemed him for all time and eternity. He gave him a brand new name, and he became the Apostle Paul. Saul, the Apostle Paul. And after Saul became the Apostle Paul, Paul spent the rest of his days living for God's glory and serving the purposes of God. Paul started many, many churches. He mentored pastors. He wrote letters. In fact, much of the New Testament is given credit to the Apostle Paul for writing. He walked and traveled thousands of miles, sometimes facing great persecution, even facing death. He did that to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. And you and I, even to this day, are beneficiaries of his work for the kingdom. So much so that Paul is now coming to the end of his life. He writes a little book that we have in our New Testament called 2 Timothy, which are probably his last words that he ever penned. And he comes to the last part of 2 Timothy, and he says the following in verses 7 to 8 to young preacher Timothy. He says these words, "I have fought the fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day." And how could he say that? Because ever since he'd been saved, Paul lived for the glory and the honor of God. And he said, "I have finished my course. I've done what you wanted me to do, God." That's the portrait of the man Paul. What about the other man I mentioned a moment ago? His name is King Solomon. At one time, Solomon was known as the wisest man on earth. And by the way, he not only was the wisest, he's the wealthiest man for a period of time. He was so wise that we have in our Bible, Old Testament, a book called Proverbs that he's given credit for writing, about 4/5 of it. And the Bible also indicates to us that he wrote many other proverbs, many other wise sayings that are not even recorded in our Bible. Somewhere, though, along life, Solomon walked unwisely. He stopped being the wisest man, and he followed foolishly the ungodly things of this life. And now, as an old man, at the point of death, Solomon writes a book in our Bible that really, to be honest with you, it's almost depressing to read it. It's called the Book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, he's thinking about over his life, and he's thinking about how he has failed miserably and how he did not use his time on this earth properly. King Solomon writes the following. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2, 14 and 15. "In his old age, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun. And behold, it is all vanity and striving after the wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted." And then he writes this, almost in bitterness, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Well, what a difference. between a man who used his time rightly and a man who used his time foolishly. In fact, let me ask you this morning. If you were to die today and you were to stand before the judgment seat, could you say to God when he asked you, how did you use your time on this earth? Could you say what Paul said? I've fought the fight. I finished the course. God, I have done what you assigned me to do on this earth. Or in bitterness, would you say what King Solomon says? All is vanity, vanity of vanities. Hey folks, how you use your time on this earth will determine how you answer that question. Redeem the time. That's the principle of time, the prominence of time, a portrait of time. I close this morning. I want to share with you just for a moment a plea of time. A plea of time. And this is what I'm going to do. I want to give you four verses of scripture. I want to make just a short comment about each one of those. And then I'm going to close with a quote. Here are the four scriptures. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. All of these have to do with time. 2 Corinthians 6:2. And he, God, says, at the acceptable time I listened to you. And on that day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hey folks, when it comes to time, right now is the time to be saved. And I realize being in First Baptist Church of Noonan today, many of you know the Lord. You've had a time in your life where you've come to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has worked in your life and redeemed you. And many of you, I'm sure, are walking faithfully with the Lord Jesus. But I also realize in a crowd this size, or maybe somebody who's listening online today, there are those that are listening that if they were really honest, they have to say there's never been a time in their life where they've put their faith in the Lord Jesus and become a follower of Christ, become one of his disciples. And to you, I would say this, today is your day of salvation. Hey, you're not promised tomorrow. That's just reality. You are not promised tomorrow. And you know what I've seen over these years of ministry? Even if you do live for tomorrow, if you say no to God, when God begins to call you and speak to you and draw you to himself, and you reject it and you say no, the more you do that, the harder your heart becomes. And I know theologically we could debate this issue from now until we go to heaven. I personally don't believe God's call ever stops, because it's his heart that all men be saved. He's done everything he can for us to be saved, and his wish is that all will come to repentance. Not all will come to repentance, but that's his heart. And I do believe this, though, that a person can say no to the call of God for so long, their heart becomes so hard they can no longer hear the call of God. Man, I've seen people in Baptist churches under such conviction because God was calling them to salvation. You just knew God was calling them, buddy. They're hanging on to that pew in front of them, their knuckles turn white. Now is the day of salvation. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, don't wait till tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. Don't wait till tomorrow, because your heart might get so hard you can't respond tomorrow. But God's speaking right now. He's calling you right now. Give your heart to Jesus. Repent and be saved. Second verse I would give you this morning is found in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea 10, 12, it says this, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness down on you. For the lost person, now is the time of salvation, but for those of us who know Christ, now is the time to seek God. Now is the time to seek him until he rains down his righteousness upon us. You know, you look at the church today, folks, we're in a mess. It's that way in most of our Baptist churches. Now, I can't speak for Methodists. I'm not one of those. I can speak to Baptists because I was a Baptist before I was saved. My mama and daddy, I had a drug problem when I was growing up. Mom and daddy drugged me to Sunday school every week. They drugged me to church. Thank God for that. I'm glad they had enough sense to drag me when I didn't have enough sense to know I needed to be there. But you know what? They took me. I was in a Baptist church before I ever got saved. I got saved in a Baptist church. Got called to the ministry in a Baptist church. And for whatever reason, in God's sovereign plan, all these 40 plus years of ministry, I've had the privilege, and I mean that with all my heart, I've had the privilege to serve in Baptist churches. But I got news for you. We're in trouble as Baptists. We fuss and fight over the silliest things. And then our churches, they tell us that over 85% of our Baptist churches are declining or dying. Here's my personal take on it. Why? I'll tell you why. Hosea tells us. We've stopped seeking God. We've stopped looking to God. You know, it tells us in the New Testament, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all the other things of life will be added unto us. And our problem in our churches is we've stopped seeking God first. We seek everything else in the world first before we look to God. And until we get to the place in this world that we begin to seek God and we don't give up until he rains righteousness down on us, we're never going to see our churches turn around. Amen or on me?
Amen.
Well, for some, it's on me. Because if the church is going to do that, it means you're going to have to do that. Hey, we're satisfied with things like they are. We don't need God most of the time. Oh, my dear folks, if you want God to do a deep work in your life, dear church, if you want God to do a deep work in your church, we got to seek God as if nothing else will do, because nothing else will do. We need to seek him until he rains down righteousness upon us. And the time to do that is now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. We're not promised those times. Right now. Verse number 3. While it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. And if I had time to read that verse in its context, we find the reason that their hearts had been hardened and the reason they had provoked God is because they refused to believe and obey God's word and God's will for them. Hey, if you're here today and God has spoken to you and is speaking to you about reading his word, now is the time to obey him. If you're here today and God has spoken to you about sharing your faith, now is the time to obey him. If God has spoken to you about getting a relationship right that has been strained, now is the time to obey him. If God has spoken to you about serving him in some area of ministry, now is the time to obey him. If God has spoken to you about giving properly, now is the time to obey him. And if you don't, your heart's going to get hard. You know, again, it's one of the tragedies of ministry is seeing people in churches that their hearts are so hardened because of their own disobedience that God couldn't shake them loose. Oh, my goodness. Now is the time to obey. And then fourth verse is this, Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. And that's what I've been sharing with you this morning. It's our text for today. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now is the time to redeem every second God has given you. I don't know who wrote this. It's just a short paragraph. I found it in a magazine many years ago, and when I wrote it down, I failed to write down who the author was. It's possible it might have been anonymous, and I just didn't know even then. It's not original with me, but boy, it makes a point. I close the message with this morning. Listen, who am I? I haven't always been, and I won't always be, but right now, I'm on the move. Measuring out life. People wait for me, submit to me, and fear me. But no one can stop me except the Lord Himself. Most people think I'm on the move forever, but I am not. When God stops me, that will be it. Then it will be too late to forgive your brother, to apologize to your sister, to visit a sick friend, or to help a person in need. Worst of all, it will be too late to repent and be saved. My name is time, and when I come to my end, you will go with me to eternity. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the admonition that we're given here in our text for today. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to understand it as it applies to each of us. And then, Father, to do whatever it is that you have us do in our response to these verses. Lord, for that person that is here today and who's never trusted Christ as the Lord and Savior, may today be their day of salvation. And for that brother or sister in Christ who's been putting off doing something that they know that you want them doing, God, may today be the time that they make a commitment to start now being obedient to your word, to seek you until you rain righteousness upon them. Lord, even for that person that might know that this is the church home that you want them to be a part of and you've been directing their hearts, Lord, I pray that they'll know right now that this is the time for them to respond and be obedient to your call in their life. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing a verse or two of a hymn of invitation. If you're here today and you need to give your heart and your life to Jesus, I'm going to be down front to greet you, and they have some staff members here that would love to talk and pray with you. Would you come today and just simply take me by the hand and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart, my life to Jesus. And we'll have somebody talk with you and pray with you and help you to do that this very day, because now is the day of salvation. Don't put it off any longer. You come and give your heart and your life to Jesus. Christian, God has spoken to your heart. You come today and pray. This altar is open if you need to come and pray down front or just where you stand in a moment. You get right what God is saying to you to get right. You make a commitment to walk out today what God is speaking to you about. And once again, if you're here and you know this is a church home God wants you to be a part of, we'll be glad to talk with you and share with you and share that with this congregation this day. So Father, help us to respond to your invitation, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.